Hey man, good morning. Merry Christmas. It's so good to be together today with you all. The title of today's sermon is Wonderful News, because it really is wonderful news. And in the song, we've been doing an Advent series. Advent's over, but this is the last installment of the series. The song today is not actually a carol, but it's a popular Christmas song. Called The Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Does everyone know this song? You guys know this song? I'm a little sick, not COVID, took a test, negative. I'm just proof that there's still other sicknesses thriving out there. And so I'm going to sing it, but it's going to be bad. And I'm not going to sing the whole thing because it's really long. But it goes, it's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. And it goes on to talk about parties and marshmallows and caroling and mistletoe and loved ones near. And it's just one of those classic Christmas songs that kind of, you know, warms the cockles of your heart. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Gloriana. Not too bad with the sickness. All right, good. I didn't want to make it too painful. And that song, there's every time it comes on, you know, it kind of gets me in the spirit of Christmas. And there's a lot of truth in there, right? I get excited around Christmas time about the Christmas parties like we had last Sunday. It was great to gather together and to eat and to have all the fun decorations and to meet new people. You know, we do things we don't normally do in other seasons, right? We plan big things like that. We in our small group, actually, Phil was sharing about his big Christmas party that he has every year and how much joy that brings him to be surrounded by friends and to be able to share love and food together. And I especially love how much we get to eat during this time. Last Sunday was a good example of that, going in for a couple of plates, having four or five cookies and not feeling bad about it. Like, these are the kind of things my wife doesn't let me do during the normal time, because she's looking out for me. It's not because she is grossed out by my belly that's growing as I get older, although she might be, I don't know. But anyways, she just doesn't want me to die early of a heart attack, which I appreciate. But during Christmas time, we kind of throw those rules out the window, right? We go on for a couple extra cookies, right? Maybe a second plate full, and then we feel sick, and then we take naps. I love naps. There's nap time during this season because we don't have to go to work as much. Hopefully some of us are getting time off at least. So there really is just so much that's wonderful, right, about this time of year. So much to be grateful for. But there's also a lot that's difficult. You know, one of the things we always do around the holidays, I work in school system. I'm a high school principal. And we always increase our mental health supports during the holidays because the holidays can be really difficult too. You know, sometimes you can be reminded of loved ones that aren't there anymore. So that's hard. Some of my students, for sure didn't want the time off because, their home life doesn't represent, the kind of joy and love that song talks about. There's no mistletoe waiting for them at home or hot chocolate. And so oftentimes they just wish it would pass so they could be back at school, which is safe for them. And for many of us, we can resonate with some of those stories and some of those feelings, because the holidays can be hard too. And I I realized this when I was driving to Costco, which I hate. I hate going to Costco. I love hate it. I love hate Costco because I love looking at all the stuff and convincing myself it's a good deal, right? Like I need like 47 hot dogs or whatever. Like I always leave with like, I go in for toilet paper and I leave with like $800 worth of stuff that's going to spoil before we could ever eat it. And so I love hate Costco. And so I was not happy to go there at the time. There's lots of traffic. You know, it's the holiday season. Everyone's out trying to spend money they shouldn't be spending, which is what we do. You know, I'm stuck kind of in traffic. Everyone's like angry driving. And the most wonderful time of the year comes on. I'm like, this is what I need right now. I need this song. Yes. So I start singing and I look over next to me and we're at a stoplight and this woman is just bawling in her car. Obviously distraught. And I'm like, I don't think this is wonderful for her at all right now. I think she's clearly not in a good space. I wanted to like roll down my window and turn it up and be like, does this cheer you up to sing about hot chocolate? No, this doesn't cheer you up, huh? She was clearly having a good time or not a good time. She was clearly not having a good time. She was not feeling wonderful. And the light turned green and I'm still going to Costco and there's this like sporty car that's like zipping around everyone and flipping everyone off. And I'm like, that guy must not be listening to the Christmas station. Cause I don't think you could drive like that, with the most wonderful time of the year, on your radio. And so I just started to kind of reflect about how, you know, you know, sometimes we build up these expectations too about holidays, you know, that we're supposed to feel all warm and fuzzy, that everything's supposed to be merry and bright and beautiful, that all our cares will melt away as we eat, you know, cookies. And sometimes, especially the day after Christmas, you're looking around and you're like, oh, when do I have to do all the hard work of putting this stuff away? And it's hard because it's a mixed bag of joy and mess, right? Of hurt and disappointment, but also like warmth and love. And, you know, it's hard because, you know, it feels like increasingly, and I'm sure social media has something to do with this, but I keep looking at people's like perfect Christmas cards and I hate them. Not because, I don't love those people, but because, you know, I look around and my house is a little messy right now and their house looks clean. And their kids are behaving in their fancy outfits and my kids aren't behaving. And I think, I can't, it's not meeting my expectations of the most wonderful time of the year. You know, we spill more hot chocolate than we're sipping, to be honest, at my house. And so, you know, we look out at the neighbors and friends and a lot of what is fueled in our society during Christmas time is wanting for things that we don't have. You know, I wish I could be like that family in that Christmas card, or I see all the posts of everyone having fun, and I wish I was less alone, and I wish I was more this or that or the other thing. And so the holidays are just really, Christmas time is a mixed bag. And I think a part of it is that we miss something about the real message, the real beauty of the inbreaking of God's kingdom through Jesus Christ. And so before we turn the corner to 2022, I I want this last Sunday of this year for us to just turn back to those familiar stories for one more time before we move on from the Christmas season. Because God's story meets us exactly where we're at. It's a mix of joy and a mess, just like we are. And so I think we might be able to find some life in these familiar stories again this morning. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 18 through 25. I'm going to give you guys a second because I don't think I put the scripture in here, which I should have. So if you got your Bible app or you just want to listen to me read it, that works too. I'll do that. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Says this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So in this time, an engagement like this, a promise to be married, was a multi-step process. And I believe it's step number two. You actually, there's a ritual where you make promises, like a contract. And so at this point, he would have had to go through a divorce to get out of that contract. And so so Joseph probably at this point is thinking, this is not what I was looking for. This is not what I had dreamed of. You know, my wife's already pregnant. We're not married. This is not the story I was looking for in this season that they're in. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Somebody say, God with us. I see you. Thank you. Say, God with us.
God with us.
Amen. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph and Mary, they have this expectation, right, of this family that they're building. And I'm sure, I don't know, this is how I imagine the conversation going. I don't know if you guys have conversations with God like this, but sometimes I'm like, God, you're not doing this right. Like, this is not how I would have done it or planned it out, you know? Had God told me, and this is, listen, I'm going to go a little PG-13 here. Had God told me when Michelle and I got married, hey, you guys can't have any union for 9 months, I would have been like, what? This is not part of my plan. Michelle too. Michelle would have this hunk of hotness. She was ready for it. So this birth of Jesus was threw things into a loop. I'm sure Joseph was like, hey, was there another plan, God? That you could have come up with. But sometimes God, his plans aren't going to be scripted the way that we might want to script them. Sometimes there's beauty in some of the challenge and some of the struggle and in some of the mess, because God, his inbreaking kingdom is about God being with us. So when I looked over to that young lady who was crying, I wanted to say, she probably, no, nobody wants to talk to a stranger while they're in the car, but I wanted to say, God is with you. You know, you're not feeling wonderful right now, but the true message of this Christmas season is that God is with you. There's beauty in the mess. And it wasn't just that it was a challenging season in the way that that story describes, but there's political strife. There's other challenges. As we move on to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, scripture says this: in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Not a good time for a census for Mary, as we'll see. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Now, I'm sure Joseph, this is my my inner monologue that I'm creating for Joseph, because I'm thinking he's got this wife that's super pregnant. He's like, this is a terrible time for a census, for us to be traveling. Now, I was checking out some sports scores on ESPN the other day, and this ad, you know, clickbait ad popped up, and I was a sucker for it. It said, the most comfortable thing you should buy for Christmas. That sounded like something I should check out. So I clicked on it, and it was a body pillow, and I was immediately upset because I hate body pillows. And I'll tell you why I hate body pillows, because my wife, when she was pregnant, got a body pillow. And I like my space in my bed, and this body pillow violated my space in my bed. And it was kind of like pushing on me, and I don't like to be pushed or touched while I'm sleeping. And I'm hot. I'm a hot sleeper. I don't know why I'm sharing all this. I'm a hot sleeper. And I hate the body pillow. But she needed the body pillow because, you know, once you get like pretty darn pregnant, it's uncomfortable, you know. And she made sure I understood that she was uncomfortable, and so I better shut up about the body pillow because the pregnancy was my fault. And so I shut up about the body pillow, but me and the body pillow have a relationship. So I was not very happy about this. And so as I'm reading this story, I'm thinking Mary's super pregnant. She's at the body pillow stage, and she's probably not super happy about hopping on a camel and traveling super far for a census for the evil Roman government that took over their land, disparages them and mistreats them and kills people. And it's just awful. And so, you know, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I have these conversations with God, and he's not making me travel to, like, I don't know, you know, my home state of Illinois while my wife's super pregnant on a camel. But had he done that, I'd be pretty upset. But there's been other things in life that I've had those kind of conversations with God. Like, God, can't I just get a break? Like, can you please stop letting everything in my house break down? Can my kids not fight for a day? Can they stop like slapping and hitting each other? It seems that bills always pop up at the worst time. Like, and I get angry. I get angry at Los Angeles, like $800 electric bills. Like, what is this city doing? I had to pay my car registration the other day. It was $450. Who is jacking up these prices? And so, you know, oftentimes I'll have these conversations with God because we're financially strapped, and we're at our wit's end, and our ropes are we've run out of rope. And sometimes, you know, I feel, you know, I don't know if you guys can relate, but my job, like I you know, like I don't want to discipline any more kids. Like I spend most of my time in the restroom trying to get them to stop vaping. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to get cancer super early, because I go in there and I have to get them, you know, there's like a cloud of vape smoke. I don't know why I'm anyways. I'm pretty sure I'm getting a secondhand contact high and going back to my office like most of the day. I don't know where I'm going with this, but anyways, there's a lots of things I have conversations with God about, especially during the holiday season, you know, the traffic and the trying to get everything purchased and wrapped. We were up super late on Christmas Eve. I don't know about you, but I can relate. Now, my situation is not as bad, but I can relate to what Joseph and Mary might have been feeling at this time. It is not the most wonderful time. This story is not like sipping. She's not like on the Campbell sipping hot chocolate. Like, this is amazing. I'm so glad we had to hop on this camel and take this trip. It's super dangerous. And while I'm super pregnant, this is not God understands our frustration, because when he came to be with us, he didn't come to like a castle. You know, he didn't, not everything was perfect. The plan wasn't scripted like a Hollywood love scene. You know, this is Joseph and Mary understanding that woman who's crying in her car next to me, because life is hard sometimes. Because sometimes, you know, things aren't working out the way we thought they would. They understand this mix of joy and mess, of love and hurt, of pain and exhilaration. God's with us at the Christmas party while we're all eating too many cookies. And then he's also with us when we're home alone, or when our family's disappointed us, or when things haven't gone right. God is the wonderful news of this season isn't that everything is merry and bright, although sometimes it is. The wonderful news is that God came to be with us through the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, the joys and the struggles. And so, Joseph, he let's get back to the scripture here, verse 5. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be, I can't read anymore. I'm getting old. I'm like, these words are tiny. Sorry. Who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. That is my favorite part. Not because the manger scene was these, like, you know, I went to Costco, I told you this, and you see these beautiful manger scenes. Everyone's looks so comfortable and happy and smiling and warm. But the reality is that was not, I'm sure that's not what Mary was hoping for. After her long camel ride with her super pregnant self, she was not hoping that all of the rooms would be full. Or maybe she was hoping, she was probably praying, God, please give us a break. Can some innkeeper just say, oh, I do have this one spare bedroom. Don't you worry. I see that you're super pregnant and uncomfortable, and that you took this long trip. But that's just not how it worked out. They ended up in a barn. She had birth and wrapped her son up and put him in a feeding trough. This is not that warm, kind of gooey. They were not singing, "This is the most wonderful time of the year." But But the flip side of that is there is joy in the birth, right? There, I'm sure Joseph and Mary are like, this is beautiful and amazing. Our son has been born, healthy baby. Anytime you have a healthy baby, there's joy. And God had been, walking them through every step of this kind of messy story. He sent an angel to Joseph to tell him, no, man, it's cool. You got to stick with her. He told him he would be the father of the Messiah. You know, this is all beautiful and all messy. Something I can relate to. And I just imagine, now they didn't send out Christmas cards, but I can imagine that Mary's getting all these Christmas cards from all her friends who had a room in the inn and their kids are all, you know, like in beds and whatever. She's like, forget these guys. Can we tear up these other Christmas? No, she probably wasn't. She was more gracious than me. But I love that as we struggle and I read the story of how Jesus actually came to be with us. And I'm like, God gets me. And Jesus and Mary and Joseph, they understand. They understand that while we might not be traveling to Bethlehem, we might be traveling to our therapist, you know, in this season. We might be calling up a friend because we need to talk about what's going on in our lives. You know, we have the same mix of joy and exuberation and pain and struggle that God has come to be with us is the wonderful news. That no matter what you're feeling, what you're going through right now, whether it be an amazing, joyous time with your family, and I hope it is, or whether you are struggling right now, that God has come to be with you. That God's story is not like the song, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year. It wasn't all mistletoe. It wasn't all hot chocolates. But even through the mess, that God made something beautiful happen through Jesus. That in this season, we can come before God and say, you know what? The story's not always working out like I would have planned it. But part of this life of faith is trusting that God is still with you. That I can't be like, God's not here. He's not planning my life out exactly how I would have done it. So he's not with me. The truth is that God is with you when things go wrong and when things are sideways and when your kids are making too much noise in the background of your sermon. I don't know if you guys can hear that. And distracting you. God's story meets us today exactly where we're at. That the hope of this season, after we strip away all the expectations and the pressures and the hardships that surround us, we can be confident that there's something really to celebrate this morning. That God is with us. That there's the hope of a day when grief will be no more, when evil will be gone, when all we need is going to be provided. And we will live in the full presence of God. But we can live in the presence of God today because he's come to be with us. Whether things are working out perfectly or whether you keep crying out to God and saying, I need a break, God is with you. Whether you are in a season right now where everything is going right and you got the raise and the job and the relationship and it's just all swimming, or whether you just had a terrible breakup and lost your job and just got COVID and are struggling, like God is with you and he understands that there is a beautiful mix of beauty and mess in this life. And God wants you to live it with him. He wants to be with you. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you, Lord, that this is wonderful news. This is a wonderful time of the year. Lord, and I pray that you would remind us today, no matter what we're going through, that this season is about you being with us. Lord, I pray that you would watch over each and every one of us as we go out from here, that your presence would be thick and that we might hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.